And thank you, Brother Dale. Turn in your Bibles, John chapter number 16. And, of course, that'll be a jumping off place for our message tonight as we're going to finish up the working of the Holy Spirit. First message was knowing the Holy Spirit. Tonight, the working of the Holy Spirit as we learn to live life in the Spirit. Where summer series is Spirit Life. And I believe that God designed the Christian life to be lived in a power outside of ourselves. I'm convinced the reason many Christians fail to realize and enjoy and understand the enriching and gratifying experience we have as Christians is because they're trying to live the Christian life in their own strength, their own power, and it leads to nothing but failure and frustration in our lives. But God has given us of His Spirit. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to live life successfully for Him. And one of the wonderful truths we're going to learn tonight about the Holy Spirit is one of His titles. Now, one of the next messages we're going to preach is the emblems of the Holy Spirit that'll help us to understand something more of His working in our lives. But tonight, we're going to look at the divine name Comforter. That's going to be part of the message tonight. I'm glad that I have a divine Comforter. What does that mean, preacher? We're going to understand that. Look, if you would, in John chapter number 16, let's find verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Here the Lord, getting ready to go to the cross, He's speaking to His disciples, and He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient," that means it's good, "beneficial for you that I go away." Now, wait a minute. They don't understand that. They don't grasp it. Back in chapter 14, just two chapters earlier, He broke the news, "I'm going away. I'm going back to the Father." They're devastated. For 3.5 years, they followed Him. He's met every need of their life. They have depended upon the physical presence of the Lord Jesus. And now He says, "I'm leaving." And He says to them, "Don't let your heart be troubled." They're agitated. I mean, their world literally turned upside down. And then He comes to them and He says, "Listen, it's good that I'm leaving." Now, in our minds, how can it possibly be good for Jesus to leave? How could it be? Well, do you realize tonight that the physical presence of Jesus couldn't be with every one of us? He couldn't. There's no way. His localized presence could not be with every believer on earth. Couldn't do it all the time. And so we understand that. So He says, "I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to send the Comforter, the third person of the Trinity, and while I'm leaving, He's going to remain with you forever." And listen, God inhabits, He indwells every Christian. He is present with us at all times, in all places, every circumstance, through the third person of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, whom the Bible says is our Comforter. Notice what He said. He said, "It is good for you, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you." Now that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't present on earth, because of the fact that, like the Father and the Son, He's omniscient and He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Alright? And so His presence was there, but in His mediatorial office, His advocate, His comforting work, the present operational work of the Holy Spirit in this particular time in God's working in mankind. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit is not going to accomplish that the Father's desired in your life. Notice what He says, "But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." I'm going to send Him in His new capacity. And then He begins to talk about His working, His operation in people's lives. And the good news is the Holy Spirit works in the lives of the unsaved as well as the saved. Do you realize the Holy Spirit was working in your life before you came to know the Lord? Matter of fact, you wouldn't come to know the Lord, and I wouldn't come to know the Lord without the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're going to understand that tonight and then talk about who He is to us after we're saved. And I'm just going to hit the high spots because this is part two of the message we began last week on the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray, and we're going to dive right in tonight, okay? Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would be our illuminator, that He would enlighten our minds, that He would give us understanding tonight of His office work in our life. And during this present age, this day of grace that You're working in the hearts and lives of those who belong to You. And I pray, Lord, that we'll understand and know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, His working in our lives, that we might live life successfully for you as we yield ourselves and are controlled by your Holy Spirit. And we'll sure thank you for what you do for us and in us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you want to understand the working of the Holy Spirit if you don't grasp what we learned several weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's not some kind of force out in the universe. He has force, he has power, but he's more than that. He is a divine person. He's a person just like you're a person, I'm a person. God the Father's a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person, and you and I relate to the Holy Spirit as Christians, all right? We have a relationship with him, and we need to recognize that, and he is operative. He's at work in your life right now. And the first operation of the Holy Spirit is working in our life is to bring us to the Savior. It is his reproving ministry, his convicting work. Look at verse number 8. And when he, talking about the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so there's three areas that the Holy Spirit works in concert with the preacher, the soul winner, the witness, the Word of God, and that is to convict men, women, boys, and girls. It's to convince them of their need of Jesus Christ. And so he reproves them, first of all, of sin because of their failure to believe on the Lord. Listen, here's what you want to go to heaven tonight? You must believe on Christ. That's simple. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God convinces people of their need of Christ that they must believe on him in order to be saved. There's a lot of folks try to do a lot of things to be saved. Good things. They try to read their Bible, pray, clean up their life, do better, help others. All of those are good things. Problem is, none of them will take you to heaven. Only Christ can take you to heaven. And so the Holy Spirit convicts people and convinces them of their need, their own inadequacy, their own inability to save themselves, and that only Christ can save them. The sin of failure to believe on the Lord Jesus. By the way, it's one sin for which there is no forgiveness. We fail to believe on Christ. There's no salvation. There's no hope beyond that. And then of righteousness. The righteousness in Christ. Verse 10, because he goes to the Father and you see me no more, Jesus said. And what he's saying here is the fact that I've ascended to the Father is proof positive that my death, my burial, my resurrection for sin is the only means of salvation. And the only way that you and I can become righteous and right with God is through the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And then of judgment to come. Look what he says in verse number 11. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. At the cross, Satan was defeated. He crushed the serpent's head. And friend, listen, to follow Satan in his rebellion against God is to wind up where Satan's going. And that's forever in a place called hell, the lake of fire. And so he convinces people of the fact of divine justice and retribution for sin and eternal separation from God. And he shows us our need of a Savior. So he convicts us, and then ministry number two, he converts us. That's the new birth. John 3:5. It should be in your notes that the Bible talks about how that we're born of the Spirit. And one of the workings of the Holy Spirit is when I believe on Christ, he births me into the family of God. He cleanses me of sin. He makes me alive spiritually. I become a new creature in him. Listen, hey, the day you get saved, the day you got saved, the day I was saved, we became a new person. He made us a brand new me. Isn't that good? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Hey, I don't have to be what I used to be. I don't have to do what I used to. I don't have to go. I'm new in Christ, and I can live in that newness tonight. But then number three, after we're saved, he's called the Comforter. Look again at verse number 7. He said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. Oh, what a wonderful name. What a precious name. What a sweet name. The sweet name of the Holy Spirit is our divine Comforter. Look back in John 14. Would you turn back there? Because you're going to find that as our Comforter, he came to permanently indwell us. Now, I didn't put that on the screen tonight. You can just add that to your notes. He came to permanently indwell us. Look at verse number 16, John 14. Notice what he says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. That word another means one just like me. Another of the same kind. Another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm going away, but the Comforter is going to abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, world can't receive. It seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, and now watch this, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Friend, when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit, he is God in you. God permanently indwells us. Now, what an encouraging thought. But do you realize tonight that he goes where I go? He sees what I see. He hears what I hear. That ought to guard us about what, where we go, what we see, and what we hear, shouldn't it? Because we subject the Holy Spirit to those things that may be grievous to him. And when it grieves him, guess what? It affects us spiritually. It does. Because we've grieved the Spirit of God. And he's convicting us of our disobedience. But he permanently indwells us. But then on the flip side of that, boy, isn't it good to know that God's in us? You know, you, and I'm not, listen, I'm not trying to be Mr. Bad Guy. I'm really not. But you see little angels dangling from rearview mirrors, and you've seen those, you know, you've seen the little flower that does this, and there's little angel wings that people put places, and, you know, they sort of float around in cars to people. You know, there are angels with them. I got one better than that. You say, preacher, what is it? God's in me. I'm grateful that I have angels around me, but thank God that God is in me. That's a powerful thought. I'm thankful for the ministry of angels, but I'm even more thankful for the presence of the Savior and the presence of the Spirit in my life. Shall be in you. And he personally encourages us. Do you realize I have a divine encourager living within me? That word comforter, we call him the paraclete. It means helper. It means comforter. It means advocate. It means one called alongside to aid or to help. It speaks of our divine encourager. I need to be encouraged. You need to be encouraged. I need help. You need help. I'm glad that we have a divine helper that lives within us. When was the last time you thanked God for the divine helper that lives inside of you? When was the last time you were conscious of the fact that encouragement wasn't just with you, he is in you? Hours earlier, the Lord had broken the news to his disciples, I'm going away. Going back to the Father's house, we can imagine how they felt. He was the supplier of their every need. Now he's leaving them. But wait a minute. As he left them, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. That's the word. You're not going to be like orphans in the world. I will come to you. How? Through the person of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And the Father and the Son commune with us through the indwelling Spirit of God. The Trinity communes with us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's a powerful thought. We mentioned this another, meaning another of the same kind, one like me, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus are not the same person. They're not one in person, they're one in essence. That means all that God the Son is, to us God the Spirit is. Oswald Sanders, in his book on the Holy Spirit, said this. Listen carefully. He said, the Holy Spirit was given to be to us on earth all that our Lord would be were he personally present with us. Another comforter, not a different comforter, one like himself who would take his place and do his work in his absence. Do you realize the Holy Spirit in us is as if Jesus was with us personally, present on earth? That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The Lord Jesus is limited geographically by a human body. He localized himself. The Holy Spirit is not. He's Spirit. Oswald Sanders goes on to say this, being himself omnipresent, the Holy Spirit does not know the limitations of human body, but is equally accessible to all God's people, wherever they are and whatever their need. He is an internal presence and not an external one. I like that. He is an internal presence and not an external one. The Holy Spirit, as I've said time and time and time again, is God in you and for you and God on your side. What a blessing to know that. Our divine encourager lives within us. He comes to our aid. He helps us. He encourages us. He comforts us. I want you to turn your Bibles. Hold your place, if you would, please. We're going to come back to the New Testament. Would you go back to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. There's a situation in David's life. He was anointed. Now, the Holy Spirit operated differently in the Old Testament. We understand that. David would pray a prayer in Psalm 51 that you and I need never pray. He would pray because of his sin with Bathsheba, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I may grieve the Holy Spirit, but he'll never leave me." And that's good to know. It's an Old Testament prayer. The Holy Spirit would come upon people. He would come upon them for acts of service. And the Holy Spirit has come upon David because he's been anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. David has been running from Saul. He's in a city called Ziklag. When he's there, Ziklag, while he's away, is burned down. The enemies of David, the enemies of Israel, march on Ziklag, that city. They slay its inhabitants. They take David and his mighty men, those men with him. They take their children and their wives as captives. And they're gone, and they come back and they find the inhabitants of the city slain. They find it burnt to the ground. They find the women and children gone. They've been taken slaves, and the men are distraught. I mean, they are devastated. They're so angry to the point that they're ready to stone David. "David, this is your fault. You brought this on this. You did it." There was nowhere for David to turn. Nobody to talk to. No one to whom he could go and speak. And I want you to look at something in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and find verse number 6. "And David was greatly distressed." You ever been there? I'm going to tell you something. There's a time in our lives, every one of our lives, that our Ziklag will burn down. That it seems like life has caved in on us to the point we don't have anywhere to go, no one to turn to. It seems like that help has failed us. Greatly distressed. "For the people spake of stoning him," his own men, angry enough to kill him, to stone him, "because the soul of all the people was grieved." They're broken, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And I want you to watch this phrase, "but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." He said, "I don't have any human help as family. I don't have anywhere else to go, God. All I can do is come to you." And he encouraged himself in the Lord. You ever just encourage yourself in the Lord? Friend, I'm glad that I don't have to go through life alone. I'm glad that there's never a time that I'm not without aid and without help, because I have a divine encourager living inside of me, and I can encourage myself in the Lord. Can I just be honest? There's times that human ears fail us. That human comfort is not enough. That words are hollow because the distress is so great in our lives, and it seems like there's no help and there's no hope. And it's that moment, dear friend, that you are not alone, that you have one inside of you called the comforter, the divine encourager, that'll whisper sweet peace to your heart and give you songs in the night. And dear child of God, you can make it. You are never alone, for God is with you and in you and for you. Encourage yourself in the Lord tonight. Someone said, "It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to meet you in the depths of your difficulty and console you with His hope and grace." Isn't that pretty powerful? But not only does He have a convicting ministry, not only does He have a converting ministry, not only is He my divine encourager, not only is He my comforter, He has a comforting ministry that to come to me and enable me and help me and minister to me. And in those quiet moments when it seems like my world is upside down, that He is there to whisper God's peace to my heart and to tell me that it's okay in Him. I'm thankful for a strengthening ministry. You ever felt like you just couldn't go on? I'm glad not only does He permanently indwell me, not only does He personally encourage me, but He powerfully equips me. Let's go back to the New Testament and find book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1. Could you imagine the risen Christ coming to His disciples and says, "Men, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach the gospel to everybody." I want you to reach the world. I don't want you to stop in Jerusalem. I don't want you to stop in Judea. I don't want you to stop in Galilee. I don't want you to stop in Samaria. I want you to go to the uttermost part of the earth, the furthest point from where you are. That's where I want you to go. I want you to take the gospel everywhere and to everybody. Do you know that seems like an impossible task? Matter of fact, it is an impossible task. But aren't you glad with God all things are possible? And he said, just so you'll know this, fellas, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Isn't it interesting that after Jesus rose from the dead and they saw him, he didn't immediately send them? He says, I want you to wait. You're not ready yet. They've seen the risen Lord. They know he's alive. They've got a great message to tell. But he said, you're not ready to tell it yet. I want you to wait. And I want you to wait because I'm going to give you a power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And you shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the othermost part of the earth. And we know Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and began to indwell people for the very first time, believers, to not only indwell them, but to enable them and equip them and empower them. I'm glad, friend, that we don't have to serve alone. Sunday school teacher, you don't have to serve alone. Choir member, you don't have to sing alone. Preacher, you don't have to preach alone. Hey, listen, we don't have to do what we do alone in our own strength and our own power. Listen, what we do will fail, but thank God we have one to enable us tonight. It's His power, not mine. My words can't change anybody's life. My words can't put marriages back together. My words can't save anybody's soul. My words can't salvage anybody. But aren't you glad His Word can? And His Word is empowered by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who enables us. Ye shall receive power. A spiritual work requires spiritual resources. And God has given us His power to live the Christian life. And it's in the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live successfully and serve Him effectively with our lives. But what about when our strength runs low? We feel as if we've expended all of our energy. I mean, it feels like we're running on fumes and we can't go on. Do you know runners speak of a phenomena called the second wind? A second wind happens. You ever been like that? I mean, you know, you just feel like you can't take another step and then all of a sudden you catch another gear. You ever been like that? A second wind happens when an athlete is too weary to continue, but then unexpectedly finds a sudden surge or boost of energy to go on. Medical experts believe the second wind is part physiological and part psychological. A second wind allows the athlete to perform beyond their expected capacity. And in the spiritual life, the Holy Spirit is our second wind, so to speak. He enables us to live beyond our capacity, to do beyond what we could do on our own. He strengthens us and enables us to go and be and do that that we never otherwise could ever be and do. Listen to Ephesians 3:6, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Do you know that is Paul's prayer for every Christian? That we're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Do you know they needed the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? We need the Holy Spirit today. I'm reminded of the need of rebuilding the temple, and it seemed like an impossible task to Zerubbabel and Joshua in the book of Zechariah. And the prophet Zechariah comes to Zerubbabel, the governor of the people of Israel, that remnant that's come back after the 70-year Babylonian captivity. The foundation's been laid, but the work's been left off. They've stopped the work. They've ceased the effort. And he's urging them to get back to the work and get it done. And he says to is Zerubbabel. Hey, this is impossible. This is beyond you, Zerubbabel. But I just want you to know, there is a word from the Lord. It's not by might, not by power. It's not by anything you can do, Zerubbabel. But this is going to be accomplished, God's work, because of the Holy Spirit, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And church, listen, if we're going to turn our world upside down and impact our world today, it's not by our might, and it's not by our spirit, by our power, but by His Spirit that will accomplish the work of God in our day. Hey, I'm glad that I don't have to preach alone, and you don't have to sing alone, and we don't have to serve alone, and we don't have to witness alone. Thank God we have one to enable us tonight. We don't think we can take another step. I'm glad there's a divine comforter that comes to our side and, so to speak, breathes a second wind into our spiritual lungs and enables us to go on. Philippians 1:19, Paul said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." That word supply means to furnish. It means to provide what is lacking or needed. It speaks of the provision of the Spirit's power or enablement to handle life successfully. Christian, when we're at our weakest, He's at His strongest. It's during those difficult times that the Holy Spirit, our divine comforter, helper, strengthener, enables us to bear up and persevere and press on to the glory of God. One of my favorite themes throughout my tenure here as pastor is when we did the theme Press On. One of my favorite songs that we would sing week after week after week was Press On. You know what? There's some times, Christian, you just need to press on. There's some times I just need to press on. There's some times we just need to press. You know why? Because we have one to enable us to go on. Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Listen to this. "For which cause we faint not." You ever felt like you was going to faint spiritually? I mean, you just not going to make it. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." We're going to finish up the life of Moses. Moses left a legacy that's unbelievable. It's interesting that Moses, at 120 years old, is going to climb a mountain 4,500 feet above sea level called Mount Pisgah. He's going to stand on that mountain. God's going to show him all of the promised land. And here's what's going to say about Moses physically, that at his age, his strength was unabated. Do you know physically Moses was as strong at 120 as he was at 40? I know what you're thinking. I'd like to be that way. Listen, I'm not quite that old yet. But I see some of these kids running around here, and I'm like, goodness. I'm glad God gives you kids when you're young. I'm glad I don't have to chase them kids. They're everywhere. They wear me out watching them. I get tired. I mean, they just seem to go and go and go and go. And those of your grandparents, you know, the kids' go never runs out when yours does. Our go's done. My granddaddy used to say, get up and go's done got up and went. You know what I'm talking about? But I want you to know spiritually, what Moses was physically, you can be spiritually. That our spiritual strength, even in our older age, is unabated. That though our outward man perish, yet our inward man can be renewed day by day by day by day as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and our divine comforter works through our life, enabling us, strengthening us, encouraging us, equipping us. Aren't you glad tonight for the person and work of the Holy Spirit in your life? When was the last time you thanked God for the Holy Spirit? When was the last time that you were conscious of the fact that the Spirit of God lived within you? When was the last time you were conscious of the fact that you don't have to go it alone? That I have a divine resource living within me to enable me and help me. And Christian, you can make it. And you can be successful in the Christian life. And you can be what God wants you to be. And you can be victorious. And you can be effective in your service for God. Because I have a comforter who lives inside me. And when I'm down, I've got one to encourage me. Amen. Let's thank God tonight for the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. God not only wants you to know Him in His person, He wants you to know Him in His work. Let's bow our heads tonight. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. Why don't you come and talk to your divine encourager? Why don't you tap into the spiritual resource? Why don't you know, dear Christian, that you can go on tonight? Maybe tonight you need to bring it to God in prayer. Quit living in your own strength and start living in His strength. Maybe you've been faltering and failing in your spiritual life. And tonight you need to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Give Him control that you might can live victorious. Do you know He can enable you to say no as you say yes to Him? And maybe tonight you need to say yes to the Holy Spirit in an area of your life.